So you moved over to Honeysuckle in January 1970?
It would have been. It was after Apollo 12 landed late November, and I know I took some holidays and then came back to take over Honeysuckle. So would have been sort of late January, I think, early February.
I've jumped ahead. I should have asked you about Apollo 11 at TID and the problem with the power supply for the transmitter.
We had a major failure in the big high tension power supply for the transmitter. It's still there, I think, in a building down on ground level, and the power was then cabled up to the antenna, the transmitter, which was in that little room underneath the dish surface. It had an enormous, what they call auto transformer. It's one of these transformers that you can wind up from no power to full power. And we were due to take the television from Apollo 11 through Tidbin Billet.
That was because you had a Mesa, a better receiver?
We had a slightly better performance from our receiving system, slightly better noise temperature. We could feed the signal in without going through a thing called a diplexer, which meant you could transmit or receive on the same feed. We were able to isolate that. So they got a very, very marginal improvement in the signal performance. And that was what they were going to use, was the Tidbin Billet antenna. Well, when this transformer blew, you know, we were going to be lucky to be on the air at all. I had a technician working for me named Alan Blake. He was a former chief petty officer with the Navy, and he'd been on board the Voyager when it was sunk by the Melbourne, and he was in the bit that went underwater and came up again, so he'd survived. But he had a claustrophobia, which was not surprising after that sort of experience. Well, this auto transformer that blew up in the power supply, you had to crawl in and up along a very narrow thing surrounded by all sorts of bus bars and wires and things. But I came to appreciate how good Navy training was, how versatile their artificers were. He was an electrical artificer in the Navy. And to appreciate the fact that when you're in a ship at sea, if you want a spare light globe, you can't walk down to the store and buy it. In the Air Force, it was always a bit easier to get spares, and so they had to be very self-sufficient. Alan told me he could rebuild that thing, and I wasn't sure I believed him, but I knew we were no worse off than if he tried. Yes. So I told him to go ahead, and he stripped that, and they were about, well, in the old measurement, quarter-inch square copper bars that ran through this thing, with the conductors in this big thing. And we had some of those on site, but we also found out that at Woomera they had some of that sort, those sort of things, because it was the same sort of transmitter. We got those flown down. You're speaking of reset. Des Barnsley, who was the project engineer for reset, was the person who authorised the flight out of Woomera with those bus bars for me down at Tidbin Billet. So it's a small world. But we got them in from there. We got bits and pieces from other sources. And Alan worked all night in that confined space. And everybody, including myself and the station, who had a reason to do it, worked as his gophers. We'd go for whatever he wanted, you know. down the store, get him a ball pen, hammer, if that's what he wanted, get him a cup of coffee if he needed it, you know, whatever. And he worked, and next day we fired the thing up and it worked. And I told Tom Reed we were serviceable again. But by that time, Houston had made the decision to go with Honeysuckle Creek. And I'd have made the same decision, because there was nothing that would tell them that we had 100% fix. It was working, the transmitter was working, the thing, there was no more arcing, no fire, no nasty smells coming out of the power supply. So we became virtually the backup, and Honeysuckle Creek was the prime station for the TV.
So you tracked the command service module then in lunar orbit?
Yeah, on Apollo 11, yes, we did the moon orbiting bit, and sneaked off and looked at the other one whenever the command module was behind the moon. We did have a setup at Tidbinbilla where we could look at the TV. So we saw it pretty much the same time as the Honeysuckle people. In fact, we were watching it. They had good TV going, and I told Tom Reed, and Tom told Houston that they had the choice of two at the time, and Houston just wanted to stay where they were because that one was working and the Goldstone one wasn't.
Yes, it wasn't.
Which was unfortunate. I've always felt sorry for that poor operator at Goldstone who had the switch in the wrong
way. Oh, yes. Well, yeah. It must have been a lot of pressure.
Oh, yeah.
Knowing everybody in the world was watching your signal.
Yeah, yeah. And it was everyone in the world. It was amazing.
Everything stopped.
Yeah, yeah. As it did for Apollo 13.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. It's not too many events have united the world like that. I sometimes wish there were other reasons we became united, but at least it's happened sometimes.